start the recording, shall we? And start with this.
Journeys with Rebecca on Wolfsburg Radio with your host, Rebecca Jernigan, your tour guide into discoveries. Brought to you from the heart of America to around the globe by wolfspiritradio.com and journeyswithrebecca.com, satellite and podcast. Let's journey together into the realm of the unknown to the known in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth.
Okay, that's enough of that. The wrong jingle.
I have to share a quick story with you about that intro.
Go on.
I was interviewed last week, I think last Wednesday, on Type 1 Radio.
Oh, yes.
And the gentleman, Dave, that was Jay and Dave Kelso, were interviewing me. And Dave Kelso had redone that intro and... put a new voiceover in it, and it was absolutely a scream. It was absolutely hilarious because it was kind of a spoof on it almost, and it really was hilarious. And for anybody that would like to, if nothing else, just go and listen to the intro because it really was funny. Get to that from the front page of my website. If you scroll down about halfway through, it'll give you a link. Listen here to Type 1 Radio where I'm being interviewed, and you have to listen to the front of it because I was just cracking up. It really was kind of funny. So
excellent. So welcome, Rebecca Jernigan.
Thank you.
Back to your spin-off show.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
And it's great because it's about journeys, and you're on a journey, and we're all on a journey, and it's a spiritual journey inwards, and sometimes it's a physical journey outwards, and you're no longer in your home, and you've moved somewhere more, and then you're going to go somewhere else, some other time. It's all very fluid, really, for you. And you appear to be still quite comfortable because you seem always to be in the now. You're it doesn't matter where you are, you're here in the now, and that's just okay.
It is. I have to say, first of all, thank you for kind of sharing that piece of information. I was kind of directed, in a sense, to kind of be in a nomadic state of being. I'm not really quite sure where that's all going to take me. I don't know where the journey leads me. All I know is that this is a journey for me, and it unfolds as it does. And, for regular folks out there, the structure, or in my case, the lack of structure, is a little disconcerting to people because everyone thinks that you should live life in a certain way, that you have an address and you have this and you have that, and, people come and visit you and you go visit people or whatever. And really, it's actually started in earnest about 2009, where this whole kind of nomadic thing really became more prominent. And every time I would try to lay down roots, I would be uprooted and off on another adventure I would be. And so, it came to me that, okay, so this doesn't work for me. And this kind of gets into our conversation that we had earlier today,
yeah,
you and I just chatting about being sovereign.
Mm.
And when you look at that premise that other people's lives don't seem to fit into your idea of what normal is, or how it's always been or expected, maybe it's time for people to step back and take a look at it. Does it really matter if somebody that you know or love or care about doesn't fit in the parameters that you're choosing to live in? And should that make a difference to them? Because sovereignty is about listening from within of what feels right to you, because when you are not resisting your own life, you're living in the flow of it, and it becomes easier. It becomes less burdensome, less sorrowful, less grieful, less traumatic, less dramatic. It becomes all those things that everyone, you know, is trying to let go of in their life, right? And it's because they're still trying to fit in based on what's expected, even though they don't have that in a conscious awareness. But when you stop and really look at your life, what isn't working for me and what is working for me without judgment and with clarity, then you begin to see kind of a rhythm of your life. You begin to sense it. And once you start stepping into it, it becomes easier and easier. And the clarity becomes, it exponentially grows with every step that you let go of whatever you think is expected of you.
You know,
go ahead. Well, and just, and you know, just by stepping into that sink and that flow of your life, whatever that is, and if it remains the same of where you're at and what you're doing, then obviously you're already there. But if you stop and look at your environment, you stop and look at yourself, and you stop and see, how do you feel about your day? How do you feel about those that you're interacting with? How do you feel about yourself and the way your day goes? Can we start out as simple as that stupid alarm clock going off?
Oh,
beat it up!
Yeah, well,
the alarm clock.
We've already done the alarm clock thing in an earlier show. We were talking about that, and that we don't really need an alarm clock because most of the time you wake up before the alarm goes off, don't you?
Yes.
So here's an interesting thing. A long time ago, we were having a conversation, and you said something to me, I followed it, which is basically you said, when you wake up in the morning, make a note of what color you think the day is. And I did it for a week, which is pretty good for me, you know, Mr. Undisciplined. Actually, I think I did it for slightly more than a week because I noticed straight away that it was a cycle. You know, I woke up one morning and it was... I can't remember where it was. It was like it was yellow, and then the next day was orange, and the next day was, you know, la di da di da, and it basically cycled through the rainbow backwards for me. I don't know if I ever fed back on you for that little piece.
No,
but
actually, you didn't. That's interesting.
And it's a very interesting thing that, and this is something that I've felt for many years, is that it's so wrong to me to do the same thing every day, because every day I'm a different person and I have different needs and different desires and requirements. Is that the energy of a Tuesday is not as the same as the energy of a Friday, and we should never try and make it so. And this is why, you know, the energy of Tuesday is Mars Day, right? You don't want to be playing like soft music. You don't want to be playing dinner jazz. You want to be playing heavy metal. You know, Friday night is dinner jazz night. You know, you know what I mean. Like the day has its own energy, and some things are congenial to it. To use William Stilling's words, some days the energy is congenial, and some days the energy is not, and it's almost like the wrong thing, completely the wrong thing to do that day. So. I think it's a very important thing to realize that we're not the same every day.
Nor are we the same any 2 days, yeah. Regardless of whether they're, you know, consecutive or not.
Yeah.
We wake up every day a little different than we were the day before and the day before that. And we'll wake up tomorrow different than we were today. Just based on what's happened, the energetics that are, you know, very, very... being felt by more and more people, even regular folk, you'll hear them say things like, wow, that's a strange vibe, or I'm getting a really weird energy, or I feel, you know, really out of tune today. You know, they'll be making these statements, and you wonder on what level, you know, that's obviously their higher self speaking through their consciousness, even though they're not recognizing where that's coming from. But it's very true. We're so different each and every day, actually, from the time we get up to the time we go to bed, we have shifted throughout our entire day.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't know of anybody that has maintained a feeling, so to speak, of when they woke up and when they went to bed and maintained that from that point to that point and has not felt differently throughout the day, whether highs or lows or, you know, happy, sad, whatever.
It just seems to be something that people are, people appear to me to be more in this sense of things. You know, they, I feel this rather than I think this. You know, people are saying that I'm a little more. I think also the perception of what we used to call supernatural is becoming much more normal. And this is, you know, we would, you know, our days, our show was going to be called The Good, The True, The Good, The Weird, and The Beautiful. And I think we're definitely going to step into the weird zone, because nowadays what used to be weird is now normal, you know, new normal, as we talked about it for the last couple of years, eh?
Yes, it is the new normal. Weirdness is the new normal. Things not following an expected path is the new normal. Things not rooted in absolutes are the new normal. That is the new normal. The new normal is the recognition of, wow, things are really different. Communication is very strange and odd between people. Have you noticed that? I mean, even some that you would call enlightened, sometimes when they speak, you kind of go, I am not sure what's going on with that individual.
I think what's happening now is that we're seeing the we're witnessing the purgation, the purging of people's mistaken ideas, and so people will be spouting all sorts of rubbish that maybe they even realize that they don't believe themselves. But it'll be like coming up for the last time, because by that point, they'll also be spotting it. You know, by the time they're saying it and it's coming out of their mouths, they'll be seeing, oh my God, am I really saying this? I think, you know, this is a time, and this brings us on to the whole channeled information business. And it is, it's a business.
It's a
business model, isn't it? You know,
it is.
You were kind of there at the beginning of all of this. What did you see? What have you seen happening over these years, Rebecca?
Well, let's start out back in the 80s. It actually started just before the harmonic convergence in 1987. Well, and it actually, the whole new age, quote-unquote, movement started in the 60s and 70s with the sit-ins, the love-ins, peace man, and all of that, right? And out of that era came people in the 80s, late 70s, early 80s, you know, talking about channels, talking about enlightenment, talking about peace and harmony on the planet, you know, talking about things that were a little different than what they had been spoken about prior to that. Then in the late 80s, all the channels came forward. And the channeled information was really fascinating. And everybody got on the bandwagon. People were teaching it. People were channeling. There was a lot of stuff. And then, of course, then the internet really went off in the 90s. I mean, it really became a big thing. And so you found more and more, quote-unquote, channeled materials. And the other thing that I noticed was because we're still working through a new model, so to speak, of how we're going to go forward as human beings. How do we want this world to work? We already know where we've been. And where we've been doesn't really work for most of humanity. Whether or not most of humanity recognizes that or not is really not relevant. What is relevant is that the human species is going forward and we have to create a new model. In the old days of channeling, there was absolutes. They dealt in absolutes. They dealt with, this is the way it is, this is where you've been. And it wasn't until the whole past life stuff started coming up and regressions, and then we started really talking about timelines in the late 90s, early 2000s. Now, see, there you can sense with just if you're capturing what I'm saying here, you can just sense the shifts, right? The shifts of consciousness on the planet is, you know, as those who are stepping up into a different space, a different way of being, how it kind of has rolled forward and how we keep letting go of things. We get to a certain point, we go, okay, so we've mastered that, so to speak, so now we can step into the next level of awareness or consciousness. Now we have practically no one, let's reframe that. We have a lot of people now who are not talking about absolutes. You and I have had this conversation many times, and it started a few years back in earnest, where you just there is no on this date, this is what's going to happen, and it usually shows up just the way that date is and how it happens. It just the absolute days are over because we have all of these other kind of energetics that weren't even thought of, let's say even back in the 90s, right? These energetics weren't even thought of. We weren't really looking at this whole idea of moving into the galactic center and what that could mean for all of humanity. And, you know, it is a huge deal. It really is a huge deal because as we're moving through this solar system, it shifts and changes everything. Our ability to see, our ability to sense, our ability to hear on way more acute that used to be hidden levels are now being noticed by a lot of just the main population, whether they're recognizing it or not. It's in their speech, it's in their mannerisms, it's how they approach life, it's in their kind of conscious awareness in a sense of how they actually walk through their life. Would you agree with that?
Well, the way I see it, Rebecca, is that we have been charged, the whole Earth has been charged with energy, so everything has more energy. And so anything that is of an energetic kind of idea, it's going to be more visible to us because it's got more energy to reveal itself, as it were.
Right. And we have more and more people that are actually able to step into that new energy and hold that energy.
Yeah. But
So channeled information.
Go ahead.
I want to bring it back.
Yeah.
Channeled information. We had a lot of really fantastic material that came out of the early channelings. Matter of fact, tonight I'm going to have a wonderful lady on my show tonight, Carla Ruckert. One of the people that used to channel the raw material.
I knew that name was familiar.
Yes.
Oh, so she's one of the original channels of this stuff. Now, okay, speak about Carla, because she'll be on the show tonight, yeah.
Oh, and so I had an opportunity to speak with her a few weeks ago when I scheduled her. Now, here's the most interesting thing, is that although she was part of this kind of main big groups, right, that came forward in that time frame, just by speaking with her, she has continued to raise the elevation of who she is, her energetic level, the information that she receives. So she didn't get caught in that trap of this is the absolute and there is nothing else beyond this. So she is quite a highly evolved spiritual messenger. And the, you know, she's in her, I think she's in her late 60s. So she's been around and she's still doing the work. And she's still listening to the information, and she's still getting the new information.
That's
and
great.
She's sharing it. Now, there is some others that aren't in that same space, that they got stuck in this channel, listening to the channel, and it hasn't expounded. It hasn't expanded. It's as if they're kind of caught in a time warp, so to speak. They're in this holding pattern.
Yes, as if the channel was just like a kind of program that ran.
And,
with no new data.
And wouldn't that be interesting if that really was the case?
I'd like to talk a little bit about Voice to Skull.
Sure.
It's been a thing of mine ever since I discovered, right? And this is years ago. We've all heard about this, you know, the military, they can shine a microwave beam at you and vibrate it with low frequency sound. So it sounds like your head is, that there's a voice actually vibrating in your head, and you can hear it through your bones. And that this technology has been used for quite a long time, and apparently was even used to speak to Eileen Caddy in the early 60s at the Findhorn Foundation, and that her book is basically a Tavistock Square, a Tavistock Institute experiment. And then it's supposed to go on to the Course in Miracles and the Urantia book and whatever is the latest sort of incarnation of that stream of information. Now, that's not to say that there isn't information that is coming in from higher beings who are A, on this planet, or B, off this planet or off this dimension. But it's important to know that there is a psyop by the powers that be that that have influenced many channels, and sometimes have taken the channel having done a good bit of work to then they send another series of transmissions. Oh, and another thing, and it's supposed to be the same kind of being, but it isn't. You heard anything like that?
Yeah. So, you know, I channel, and I used to channel a lot in the 90s. I did a lot of public work. You know, I was on a circuit, and I taught classes and workshops, and I channeled, for smaller groups here in the Kansas City, private groups, public groups. And it got to be to the point where the information that they wanted to share, which is my guides called the Elohim, wanted to share, was not what people were ready to listen to. And so I bowed out of that whole scenario and utilized the information that they gave me through my private sessions with people, as well as for my own personal growth, by sitting down and asking questions and sitting with a very, very, very small group of people, individuals rather, that I would feel comfortable with sharing information, and they would just literally just step me aside, and information would come out. And it was with those that were entrusted with this information, because at some point it would make sense to them, right? You understand, right? So this, there is, when I do channel now, I always check in. And those, that sensation that you were talking about it, it like comes through the bones, I'm always checking in with my physical self, with how do I feel? And when you get, that's part of the sovereignty, right? When you get to know yourself well enough, you'll know whether that's an artificial voice or artificial piece of information that's coming in. It won't resonate within yourself. It won't. It just won't. It just becomes words coming out of your mouth. There'll be no vibration to it. There'll be no feeling to it. There'll be no energy that you can feel coming before it. Those are some of the ways that maybe people can utilize that piece of information for their own selves when they're checking in with themselves.
Yeah.
And it's huge. This PSYOP thing, we've seen a lot of them being usurped. And you know, big headlines about, you know, especially in the metaphysical community, right, or the paranormal community, where we say, God, did you listen to so-and-so? My God, they sound like they were off their rocker. And it was probably because they were, you know, had been, you know, disrupted. And they don't recognize that they've been disrupted through the different frequencies and the vibrations that are being sent out in a malicious way, purposefully, to interrupt the transmissions.
Yeah, so essentially what you're saying is that the if it's if you're being the subject of a psyop, then it'll feel more like you're just saying words. But if it's coming through in a genuine way, you'll be feeling things and you'll be translating those feelings. Is that right?
Yep.
That's more or less the difference between how to recognize whether you're channeling properly or that you're just being used as a voice.
Right.
From your skull.
Right. And, you know, recently I've had some interaction with some people. And I do mean very recently, as recently as last week. And people that are really well versed in their metaphysical work that they do, right? They're very knowledgeable. They have a high level of what the new term that they've been using for me is, it's called high mindedness. The high mindedness is stepping just outside of the box and stepping into the potentials of information that can be garnered as long as your vibration and frequency and understanding is high enough to be able to receive the information and then, you know, somehow translate it or communicate it either within the self or to others, depending on how the process works for you, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I've been listening to what I had thought up until just a few days ago, literally, that some of these people were very high-minded individuals. And they were carriers of this great, wonderful information, right? And that how great it is to be able to maybe share it with the audience, with other people. And then time goes on, and then you get back with them, and you have another conversation. You go, wow, there's something majorly has shifted, and not necessarily in a good way. And then what comes out of these people is something that bears little resemblance, energetically speaking, to the information prior to everything.
Yeah.
So people are being usurped because that's part of the psyops thing, if you want to look at it that way. It's part of the agenda, is that the truth, whatever that truth is for the individual, right, is being hijacked because they don't want you to be sovereign. That takes away the game.
Exactly. And then, you know, and also they may have written a book or something like that, and the book involves a deal, and the deal involves more books, and they got to come up with new stuff, and the, you know, the original entity has moved on, and so they're looking for some inspiration, so they may either make it up or maybe may fall victim to a psyop. Oh, hello, here's the voice again. We sound a little bit different. Hello, we're the voice of your...
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And a lot of times they don't question it.
Yeah.
A lot of times they don't question it. You know, I'm very grateful that I'm an energy sensitive. I'm so grateful I'm an energy sensitive. Mm. Because if it doesn't feel right, then it's not right for me.
Yeah.
It just isn't. And it's a skill, a capability, if you will, that I have when I'm listening to somebody on whether it resonates. Now, see, I'm not listening on whether it just resonates with me, but whether it would resonate with other people. Because I have an understanding that my truth isn't going to be everybody else's truth, but that doesn't mean that because we're different in our truths that one person's information is better than another. Because we're so all individual. We've all arrived at this planet for a reason. We don't all have to be on this same, you have to be exactly like me. What's the point of that?
Hmm.
You know? So, we do have a question that came in.
Yes. And it's very relevant and pertinent, isn't it?
Yes.
So, shall I read the question out and you say the answer?
Okay, go.
On behalf of Tobias Beharl, with Voice of Skull, could one determine if it is technology or a, quote, real guide, unquote, by asking non-verbal questions and waiting for answers?
Listen, you have to be able to understand how it feels to you. How does it resonate, the Voice of Skull thing? And how do I want to say this? I want to make sure that I'm clear enough so that I, you know, that this can help assist people.
Yeah.
When I have sat down and done readings for people, I've done private sessions for people, and the Elohims come in and speak. As I'm making the transition of releasing myself, so to speak, in order to allow for the others to come in and speak through me. It's like a two-way street. It's like, you know, one's going up and the other one's coming down. That's just kind of a linear way of looking at it, right? And as that energy of me is going up and they're coming down because I have to step aside, I get an overall sense impression of whether or not this feels, looks, smells, tastes, touches. It is the real deal. And you have to awaken those senses on all levels, just like you do in this world. The senses work on the other side just like they do here in this reality. And there's no difference except for your own idea that it's different on the other side, and it's not. It is not different. It just is subtler. It's not as in your face because you're not in that physical reality. But you can bring that energy in and experience it in the body. That's why the body's important, right? So the voice that you're asking for, and ask them to repeat the question, you repeat the question, you sit and wait to see if it's your real guide or not. Don't just wait for listening. Also feel it, sense it, touch it, look at it. Do colors come forward? Does it have a visual effect, or that is there something just slightly altered in it? And then if it is, you have to ask yourself, see, there's a lot of levels to this. You have to ask yourself, well, is that really true, my guides coming in, or is it just a shift or a change in the energetics of them? Is that making sense?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So sitting with the self and getting to know the self is the biggest key here. It's the biggest clue. It's the biggest, piece of this, because ultimately you are the filter for everything that comes in. Ultimately, you have to either allow or disallow, depending on how it feels to you. No one can tell you if it feels right to you except for you. Now, you can have people assist you, and they can look, and maybe there's somebody that's clairvoyant that can assist you while you're going through this process and say, you know, and let you know, maybe give you some hints, but ultimately the work has to come from the individual. That's the sovereignty. That is the sovereignty. Okay?
That's right.
And asking nonverbal questions is a very good thing to do, because you're using a sensory perception, but I'm asking you to also expand on it. If it doesn't feel right, say, you know, I don't think this is the day for me to do this. I don't think this is the time for me to do this. And then simply move out of that space and do something else for a while. Try to come back to it. It may be just that you had a bad space that you were in, and it distorted what you perceived. Again, all of these things are just something that you have to go through over and over again in order to get it really figured out what makes you tick. How do you operate? How do you sense? How do you feel?
I think it's a really good thing to learn how to develop your senses, your outer senses and inner senses, and to learn to acknowledge that you're actually feeling something. And I suppose, you know, it's like, you have to have a point of mind, a space in your beingness, some way where you can sit and become the observer. It's a bit like being able to meditate when you're awake or when you're walking around. And you take stock of, what am I sensing here? Can I feel the gravity of the pressure on the base of my feet? Can I feel the wind against my skin? Can I feel the weight of my clothes? Can I sense what my little toe is doing? You know, how connected in one's body is one? Most of the time people aren't. Most of the time they're kind of not even in their head. They're away somewhere else. You know, their feet are, you know, everybody's on autopilot.
Yes, let's talk about the physical sensations. Let's talk about them for a minute. You know, people get a shooting pain, or they get this pain, or they get an ache, or they get nauseated, they have a headache, whatever. And a lot of times people will just reach for what they've always done. You know, I have an upset stomach, so I'll chew some antacid tablets or whatever, right? I have a headache, so I'll take some aspirin or Tylenol or whatever it is they take. Right? Instead, you might want to sit down and look at that and go, is this just passing? Is it just, you know, have I went through an energetic shift and I'm just waiting for the body to normalize itself? Is it really imperative that I put something in my body to quote unquote treat this? Because see, we're also, when we do that, we're also acting as if there's something wrong.
Yeah.
So that's what you teach the body.
Yeah. Projecting wrongness.
And really
wrongness,
what it yeah. is. Yeah. So it's like checking in. Is there really something wrong with me? Or is it just something that's passing through? My body's kind of, you know, shifting and changing. The energetics are shifting and changing. And for me personally, I have shooting pains and all kinds of weird stuff that happened to me all day long. And I just sit with it for a minute and go, okay, it'll pass. And it does. The persistent ones are the ones that I sit down and look at. And I go, okay, so that voice, it with the pain, right, is the loudest.
Mm-hmm.
So let me look at it. Is there really something wrong and do I need to treat it? Right?
And how do you treat it? You don't take it to the zoo, do you?
No. Most of the time, the first thing I'll do is try to run energy. Mm. I try to run energy and try to clear whatever is there. I try to, you know, depending on what it is, right?
Because, you know, your body is having a conversation with you.
Yes.
And
exactly.
And what are you saying? You know, I got a stomach pain. I can't stomach something in my life.
Right.
My elbow hurts. Oh, all right. Well, are you leaning too heavily on something?
Or is somebody leaning too heavily on you and you're allowing it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
How much responsibility you're shouldering, etc. You know, each part of our body has a code, a message. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it might even be a person, and each part of the body is ruled by an astrological sign. And for instance, somebody may have injured their left ankle, for instance, and I'll straight away say, do you have a problem with an Aquarius male? Because the left side is male, represents male, and the astrological sign goes from Aries at the head down to Pisces at the feet. And each part of the body has a sign associated with it. So
fascinating.
You know, somebody ends up with a bruise on their right thigh, and you say, oh, you've got a problem with a Sagittarius woman. You know?
Hmm.
So that's another way of looking at disease. Or apparent dis-ease. It's all frequency.
Dis-ease.
We're all frequency. You know, we don't have diseases. It's just we've been tricked into believing the paradigm of what they call medical health. But
right.
It's not.
And it's a program.
Yeah.
Set program that says, okay, that defines if you have this is what you have.
That's right.
If you feel like this is what you have. The other thing I've noticed is a lot of enlightened people coming out talking about that they have different maladies. I have ADD, I have this, I have that, I have this, I have that. And, you know, to give it some credence or some, you know, some power or whatever, so that it kind of excuses different behaviors or the way that they hear or communicate, when in fact all they have to do is own the fact that you have to speak in short bursts because I'm unable to focus past that point. It has nothing to do with the label that our medicine has put on us, that the medical community has put on us, because when you do that, you're telling your body that.
Yeah. Or how about this? I get easily bored with people in uniform.
Now that's interesting.
That's real, isn't it? Yeah, I'm not autistic. I just hate you because you're nasty.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Exactly. Been there, done that. Yawn. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, there's a lot of subtleties to what we're talking about, and I recognize that. But, you know, there's still a lot of people out there, I think, JP, I think you'll agree with me, that still want a specific answer to, you know, they want this 3D answer to a question that they've asked. They want this definition to be set in stone. They want to deal in absolutes, that this is the way that it is. And there's so many of them that can't get outside of that box.
Right. Well, I'm going to go rays on you. I'm going to go all seven rays on you, because this is part of the evolution of humanity. is that we are evolving out from linear mind, which doesn't get metaphor. Very good at documenting fact, but doesn't get metaphor. Doesn't get algebra, you know. So you can, when I read people with a fifth rate mind, the first thing I'll say is, you didn't get algebra at school, did you? You know, because it's a linear-minded thing, and you just don't get it. But the third-ray mind, which is the new higher mind, which is how humanity is going to go, you know, this is like the next step for humans, is to go into the higher mind, which goes above the linear plane of concrete thought and goes into abstract thought. And this is something that you and I have been enjoying most of our lives, is the ability to, and it's like, sometimes it feels like you can run rings around people mentally, but it's just because you can run rings around people mentally, because the way that your mind is now restructured, it's like it's gone from perhaps maybe a square technology to a triangular technology. You know, it's like fewer interchanges needed to get to where you need to get to. Yeah,
And you can get quicker too.
Yeah, it's very associative. That means that you understand the associations between things, and that's something that humanity can look forward to. You know, that we are going to. This is how we evolve. We evolve into a higher mind. We evolve into a less unstable emotional situation where we're not gullible and programmable anymore. We're actually cooler, literally. You know, people don't heat up so much. We're cool about stuff, and because those are the people who are going to survive. It's going to, you know, it's going to be very Darwinian. If you can't remain cool, you're going to explode in the next 6 months. You have to be very, very careful.
And being triggered, being clear, being balanced in a world, you see, and none of us are really not involved in this. We all still walk around every day doing whatever it is that we do. And we're going to come across a lot of people that are just not, they can't handle these energetics.
Yeah.
They cannot handle the higher vibration, the frequencies, the massive quantities of not only natural energies, but also unnatural energies. It's also being bombarded. And they couldn't begin to decipher one from the other, whether it was natural or if it was unnatural, right, or mechanically produced or what have you. And we're going to watch a lot of people, the term I used was brain leakage, right?
Mm.
And this is a huge, huge indicator of separating the wheat from the chaff. That was the terminology I think I began using back in 2008 that they gave me.
Mm.
And it's a metaphor. It's a metaphor, not that there's some are better than others. It's about the process in which the individual is going through and also what this planet, solar system, this whole galaxy, everything is going through. It is a higher mindedness. The energies that are here are of a higher nature, a higher frequency. And those who are already sensitive or on the path, they're going to have to be really careful. It's going to be a balancing act. It's going to be a true balancing act to make sure that you're as emotionally clear, you've done the work that you can, because I truly believe there's kind of an implosion coming. And you have to be prepared for it. It's not business as usual. It's not the same as it was yesterday. It certainly isn't the same as it was 20 years ago. The outcomes are not predictable because as each of us reach our own level of sovereignty, our own level of truth and understanding, we are all individually going to experience it slightly different than everyone else. And for the groups, in a general speaking, those that are not in that space, you know, that are not these higher-minded individuals, that they're the still vibrating at a lower level, they're going to experience all a similar kind, more similar kind of a reality because they're still in that kind of group mentality and haven't found that level of sovereignty.
Mm.
Is that making sense?
Yeah, but that group is going to be the one that's going to suffer the most, I think. of confusion, because the world will not be, it will be like walking into Bizarro World. Everything will be upside down. And unless unless you've been riding with this for a while, unless you won't be able to accept what is going on in front of your very eyes. Who knows what's going to happen, but it's something.
Listen, I have watched some things that's transpired in the past couple of months in front of me, people's behaviors, their outbursts, their actions. And
tell me all about it. Yeah, exactly. You know, go.
And you just kind of stand back, you know, and thankfully I'm no longer being triggered. I really am not. What I am doing is I'm stepping back in a total observation mode, and I'm still in a state of like, wow, what the hell is that? Right? As you're watching this scenario unfold in front of you that you're not participating in, you're simply observing in, and you just, you just have to step off of it. You just, and it's a, for me, it's like a sneak preview, right? This is the way it's gonna be.
Yeah.
You know, this is what's gonna transpire. This is what's happening to people. And they don't even realize that they're being triggered in that way. And so when you said that, you know, it's those people that are the ones that are going to suffer the most. They are, because they're the ones that are doing the most damage, not only to themselves, but to others. And, you know, it's not that they mean to do that. These are some very good, loving, wonderful people. They're just not there.
Well, they have been successfully diverted from the truth by the powers that be. They are probably currently watching, if they're in the States, they're watching the massacres. If they're in Europe or anywhere else, they're probably watching the Olympics. All these issues of pride and national emotion and winning and beating and all those other Roman rituals that have been going
traditional.
On. Yeah, traditional.
What we've learned to call traditional, right?
Yeah, traditional Satanists, as we've learned to call them nowadays. Oh, yeah. Thousands of bell ringers. Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. So that's all that's going on at the moment. Aside from this kind of rather small group of people, but expanding group, and it's going to be exponential as well, because, you know, it's like it's nuclear fission.
Sure.
And essentially what's going to be happening is that this is what you're talking about, the wheat from the chaff. Those who are able to step into the higher mind are going to be able to step back from their reality wherever they are. In Frank Jordan, he's been doing these meditations, and it's really good. I'd really recommend them on Wolf Spirit Radio. Just have a look on the schedule to find Frank Jordan, and he's doing these series of meditations that help you bring yourself back from being pushed right forward, and he talks about bringing your consciousness back through the pineal gland and then going back further back in your head. Really kind of distancing yourself from the normal reality, but still being here and you. And these are wonderful exercises, I think, that will really help people move themselves into their higher mind. It's something that we all have the opportunity to do. Some people will not take the opportunity, sadly, but we have to basically remain cool. Because I've got a bad feeling about all this emotion about the Olympics at the moment. That I can see this enormous amount of fake national pride that's building up, and they're playing out everybody's individual dramas and all these little stories that are going on, people's struggle and all of this, and everybody's feeling proud for Team GB or whatever, wherever you're going to be, and you know what they say: pride cometh before a fall.
That's right.
Not to cast any doom and gloom and doubt over anything, but yeah, there is a large number of people who say that there's a potential for a false flag on the 12th, which is the closing ceremony. It's all about, and also it's a that's right. No, that was a spoof. They say the closing ceremony was going to be a celebration of Britain's failures, but no, I don't think so.
Well, you know, all these things seeped, especially in the sports arena, all these things seeped in traditions. You know, it's a mindset that's been present on this planet for forever, right? Competition. One have to always be the winner and everybody else is the loser. You know, and I truly believe that this time space that we're in is bringing forth a new idea. I love sports. I used to play sports all the time. I love it. But I didn't necessarily play it to win. Mm. If I was in competition, I was actually in competition with myself. I wanted to run faster than I did the time before. I wanted to catch more balls than I did the time before. I wanted to shoot more baskets than I did the time before. Like this little game I used to play with my own self, you know. And I really wasn't in competition with the other team or my other teammates. I was in competition, as it were, with myself, too, because I enjoyed it. You know, I wasn't spastic about it. You know, I wasn't over the top about it. But if we could see a transition, and I'm hoping for this transition, I'm hoping this is where we begin to see a transition, that it's not about somebody being a winner and then everybody else being a loser, but it's about doing the best that you can, enjoying what you do, enjoying this form of interaction with other countries, with other, you know, with other nations, right? And all gathering for the purpose of having fun with what it is that you like to do.
Yeah.
Not just about recognition and about being the one and the only for the one and the only winning country. You know, that mindset in itself breeds negativity.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Separation.
Yes, separation, absolutely.
And judgment.
I'm the winner, you're the loser. Yeah. Or this country won more and that country won less.
Yeah.
It's still a separation, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, that mindset there is an old one. That's the traditions that we're talking about, right? And, you know, sports has become kind of a weird thing. You know, football and soccer and all of them and hockey. It becomes, when are they going to break out into a fight? You know, actually people are watching the games to see when the players are going to start beating up on each other. And you have to think, oh my goodness, is there not something wrong with this picture? You know, I kind of fell away from all of the sports and watching them and interacting with them because of, you know, watching this trend over and over and becomes very, very blatant. And they don't realize that this is part of the programming.
Yep. Yeah, it's. I mean, it's really it's an emotional manipulation. It's like somebody coming up to you and saying, "Oh, Rebecca, oh, I love your dress. It's so beautiful." And of course, you have to say, "Oh, well, thank you." And then a few minutes later, they'll come up and say, "Oh, but I heard your show last week, and you know, I didn't quite agree with what you were saying, you know." And suddenly, you're on a downer because you just believed them when they said, "What a lovely dress." Mm-hmm. And therefore, they've given themselves credence, and then they come in with a snide remark, and they've got you because you've tacitly accepted their opinion as important in your life, and this is the whole thing about making somebody go into an emotion, you know, of pride or anything like that, and pride is very, very. What's that word? Insidious.
It is. You know, there's nothing wrong with looking in the mirror before you go somewhere and saying, you know, I you know, comb my hair, brush my teeth, I put on the best clothes I can, I'm comfortable in it, I feel good. You know, I've taken some quote unquote pride in being clean and feeling good. But it's quite another thing is to go, gosh, don't I look just like the hot mama today? Right? There's a difference.
Yeah.
There's a difference in caring about how you look or how you present yourself as opposed to being prideful in it, which is what is there a fine line there? Very fine line, but it is. We have a question that I'd like to answer before.
Go for it. I've seen it. I was going to say. Go.
Yeah, have been experiencing psychic tears for the past week. Some is personal, but most is with the world. Any comments? Two things that I would like to tell you. Dakota, what I'm getting with you for this is that understand the psychic tears. So sometimes those tears can come unbidden, and it does make you just really feel the hopelessness of it all. And then when you stop and look at that from that viewpoint, I suspect that you're probably getting an influx of the pain that some people are feeling. It's in the air. It's in the energy all around you. I also suspect that if you allow this feeling, these feelings to move through you, not, in other words, not own them, that you'll find that this is actually a clearing point for you. So it kind of serves a dual purpose. It's a recognition that you are sensing what's going on a much greater level than yourself, although it is, some of it is personal, as you said, but it's also understanding that this world needs a lot of love and a lot of healing that can only come from the individual. And then after that, the clearing begins, and you begin to feel better about letting that go and not owning it. I hope that helps. Oh, gosh, I can hear the music.
That's it. It's time. Thank you very much, Rebecca Jernigan. Journeys with Rebecca, Wolf Spirit Radio, Tuesdays, Fridays, when else? Thursdays.
Don't forget to tune in tonight, 9 to 11. Carla Ruckert is my guest, journeyswithrebecca.com. JP, I love you.
I love you too.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.